and welcome to another episode of Techsplaining. This is Rob Foster, and I'm here with the whole crew again today. So Stephanie, Mark, and Brett, how are you guys doing? Stephanie? Don't everybody
You're
talk at once.
You're so polite today and waiting on each other. It's so nice. I'm doing all right.
I have to say, for the listeners out there, so just as a little kind of setting the stage for how we record the show, we're actually recording over Zoom video, so we can see each other, even though this is, at the end, an audio podcast. And we all decided, hey, it's Friday, let's have a drink while we're doing the podcast. And of course, I was like, well, I'm drinking beer, that's cool. And I totally got my man card revoked because I'm drinking my Miller Lite here. And Stephanie, on the other hand, is drinking an amazing sour beer. And I keep forgetting that she's like a real beer connoisseur. So I'm going to have to up my game.
Yes, you got to try the Dogfish Head. It's called Sea Quench Ale Session Sour. It's amazing. If you like sour beers, it's good stuff.
What is the sour flavor? Is it more like apricot? Is it tart? What's the?
Oh, I don't flavor? Do apricot. No. No, it's lime is kind of the main flavor, I guess you'd say, in there. But it's good.
So, yeah. So it's like Bud Light Lime.
No, it's a little stronger than that. Come on, Rob, don't insult me.
Sorry. No, that's great. And I think Mark and Brett are both, you guys are having gin, so you guys are hardcore. So Mark, what's right. Gin and yeah. juice?
I've got gin and Sprite because I'm out of tonic, so.
I'm trying this gin and aromatic tonic, which is with Angostura bitters in it. It's pretty good.
Is that both of you guys are drinking out of like plastic solo cups?
A red solo cup.
No, this is glass.
Oh, that's your cup is glass and it looks like that.
Because it's red in here.
And Mark is drinking out of a solo cup like he's 18
from
year
Arkansas?
Old college student.
Yeah. Arkansas. Arkansas. Yeah.
You know, living in Arkansas is the best excuse for everything. I always have an out. I'm from Arkansas. No matter what. If I screw
you want to eat?
From Arkansas.
You want to eat?
Yeah.
You want to eat?
You want to eat? That's right.
But I will not drink Miller Lite. So
you're missing out because it's 90 calories, and you know me being on this health food kick right now, it's helping me because I can drink a lot of these and be cool and sober. Shockingly.
Well, no, you can drink a lot of these and be sober. Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave it there.
Can't be cool. Yeah, so
you're going to get blisters going back and forth to the fridge trying to be cool.
How many followers does your foot have now, Rob?
So I think we're up to almost 700 responses. I made it public today, so people are starting to share it out into the world. For no reason. Yeah, so it's coming to a Facebook feed near you, I'm sure.
So for all of our listeners out there, you can now search Rob Foster's Facebook profile, and he has a public post about his foot that he has a blister on that he posted, 2 months ago?
About a month and a half, yeah.
And it's still trending on Facebook, so.
Yeah, it's.
We need to rethink the topic of this podcast.
What are we talking about today, guys? What is the topic?
Oh, I think we had a few things to catch up on, right? Lots of stuff going on. I think Inspire was going on this week and a few other things. We've got MVP renewals that just happened. Where do we want to start? Anybody know anything about Inspire? Was it a good week?
Business apps. Stephanie, you raised business apps the other day.
Spill it. Yeah, so Pate Group is participating in a new program that is focused around business apps. So being able to kind of convert Mark's favorite platform in the world, InfoPath Forms, into something better. So Power Apps and Flow, and really creating better business processes within Office 365. So we're a charter member of the new business apps group. We're going to be helping to promote what this group is doing, and it's really just going to kind of create awareness around what you can do, how you can convert your forms and workflows and things like that, modernize all of that into true business applications. And so we'll, of course, be providing services around that as well. So we're pretty excited about that program. And I believe they also have something going around content services as well.
Yeah, so let me ask a question. Being that I'm in a little different market, do you see this as being an enterprise offering?
I think absolutely. It's something that hits everybody, right? It's not meant to be, you know, convert a few forms. It's something that we actually have a project ongoing right now where they're bringing over everything from a legacy version of SharePoint into Office 365. They have upwards of, I think, I don't know, 20 forms or something that we're looking
24.
At. 24? Yeah, 24 forms we're looking at converting. So, you know, that's just one example. Maybe that's a little more mid-market, but I know everybody has stuff that they're looking to get converted.
So we're dealing with a client right now. They're looking at our Lightning Forms product, and they have over 16,000 forms that they built in InfoPath. I don't know where they're going to start, but they want those forms converting.
That's an incredible number of InfoPath. It's like Mark's worst nightmare.
Yeah. I'm wondering how they even got to that many, but yeah, it's a lot of forms.
Well, so speaking of forms and speaking of Power Apps, something that stirred the pot a little bit last week is if you go to a link, and I'm sure Stephanie put it in our show notes, but there's on docs.microsoft.com, there's this message, this little blue box in the Power Apps page that says that you need to republish your Power Apps every 6 months or you risk them not working anymore because of updates. And do you guys not see this?
WTF?
Yeah, so apparently Waldeck, he tweeted that a few weeks ago, apparently, and then I saw it in the page and I posted it on Facebook. But yeah, so apparently it's a thing.
Well, see, that goes back to my question of is this an enterprise ready product? And I don't know, you know, and I don't know if you've got to do crap like that it is, right? And maybe at the way that these things should be evolving, right? You should be pushing out updates more than every 6 months or whatever. But still, I mean, there's a lot of times to where, like in my business, we can't, because we could be going into what's called busy season, which is when, you know, auditors and things like that are out working in tax season or whatever, and we just can't push changes because we can't incur the risk. And you know, I don't know. That's really surprising, and I want to follow this a little closer because I think this is kind of news, and I think it could be very impactful to people like me.
Yeah, and from the conversations I had after the fact, it affects very few people because of backwards compatibility with all the updates they make. But I think it's just a CYA they're doing that, you know, if you want to ensure that your Power Apps will function 6 months from now, you need to republish them so that it can be republished with the newest functionality.
Is Power Apps truly a replacement for InfoPath as well? I mean, going back to what Vesa was talking about last week, I guess, you know, things evolve. We bring out new products, whether it's Microsoft or an ISV and so on, and sometimes they have a different slant or different feature set. But I'm still struggling to see what organizations would use InfoPath for and using that same type of form inside of Power Apps.
I mean, so should they really? Mm-hmm. Well, here's my question back to you. Mm-hmm. Is there a form replacement tool for modern sites in SharePoint besides Power Apps? And besides Stratus Forms, by the way, which is a free tool that anybody can download, that does work in modern. But I think that's the biggest clincher. It's InfoPath will not work on modern sites. Mm-hmm. Power Apps has been hailed as the forms tool for modern sites in SharePoint. So what other options are there for modern sites right now?
There's many third parties, and I'm not going to blow my own trumpet like some people might, but...
No, I did. I said Stratus Forms. It's free at stratusforms.com. It's free. So so Lightning Forms, how do those work in modern?
Yeah, so right now it's not working in modern. That's going to involve most likely building our own controls, but you can still take a modern list and use forms such as the new form and the edit form and the display form as though you would do in a classic site. And by the time you're done customizing, it's probably not going to resemble the original classic form anyway, or even the modern form. It's going to be something custom. So in a way, yes, you can. It is supported. What it's lacking there is, you know, the sort of mobile view type thing that you would get with Power Apps, but that'll come. It's early days.
So, and that's my one thing about Power Apps. Sorry to take over the entire podcast. But I like to talk about forms. So I like Power Apps. I think from a big picture view, Power Apps is going, it is an InfoPath replacement, or it will be if you don't think it's there today. But one of the big limitations of Power Apps, it is designed to be mobile. You have very few options for customizing the way a Power Apps form looks. It's going to look like a one column form that looks good on your mobile device, or it's going to look like a two or three column form that looks good on a mobile device and shrunk down to one column. You don't have a lot of options there. So if you have a form that has to look a specific way, I don't think Power Apps can really do that.
And well, I think that's so, what I'm...
You know, but, go ahead. Sorry.
Go on.
So here's where I'm at with that though, right? Do you really want to give them something overly customized, super branded, et cetera, that's potentially hard to keep updated over time? Maybe there are scenarios, but very often when you are talking about mobile access and being able to, you know, one of the biggest conversations right now is your site performant? Are your forms performant? Are they loading quickly? Because everybody's working fast. They want to get their job done. Something that's heavily branded, it looks really nice, may take longer to load. Are we, you know, we've seen this big push with the modern sites and the way internet sites are going now. Everything's simple. The branding has gone back to, you know, something that's fast loading, something that, you know, kind of is responsive and reorganizes quickly, easy to use. And so we're seeing that on internet sites and internet sites. And does that theme continue on over into the forms and workflow perspective as well, right? So, you know, that's something to consider. It's easier to build, it's faster to build, it's easier to use maybe potentially. You know, I don't know. I think it's worth considering as well.
And I think that's what I was saying about it. It's different. It's not a direct replacement for InfoPath. It's different. And that's where, you know, a company that may have, whether it's 20 InfoPath forms or 16,000 InfoPath forms, you know, should they be migrating those or should they be rethinking them and rebuilding the solution? And I know you shouldn't use build a solution around the technology that you're going to use, but should this be an opportunity to rethink the business processes and decide what technology is going to be used? And maybe Power Apps is not it. Maybe it is.
So the other piece of that is too, though, that Power Apps is not just an InfoPath replacement. It's not just a SharePoint tool, right? So it is outside of SharePoint. It does have, you know, over 200 connectors. There are other options and possibilities for it, you know, above and beyond just SharePoint. So, you know, those, it's something that I think that it just to compare to InfoPath really isn't fair, right?
So then Here's a question. So we still, I know it's 2018. It's still 2018, right? People still have, for whatever stupid reason, you can disagree with this all you want and say, well, they shouldn't, but they do. They have requirements to print out forms. They do. And yes, we shouldn't be doing that anymore, but you can tell them all day long they shouldn't be doing that, but when it comes down, for whatever reasons, they have requirements to be able to print out a form.
This is exactly where I see Power Apps, because the amount of times I have to fill out, not even an InfoPath form, it's a Word document. And, you know, the formatting goes all over the place as I start typing, and then I have to print it, and then I have to sign it, and then I have to scan it, and then I have to email it back. And that process can take forever and a day. And, I think that is ideally suited to Power Apps. It's, well, maybe even closer, actually, Office 365 forms would be a better fit for some of those. But, yeah, certainly I see that as being an ideal fit for both of those products.
Do you see the need to print kind of often, Mark?
Yes. When we have clients, customers who they have a process and they have a change resistant staff, and you want to move them in a managed approach to where they should be going. If you cut off something that is that important to them, I mean, it's something visually important to them that they do. It's something visual and tangible, a printed document that they can touch. That is a huge mind shift for them to do. And so to take that away from them, it's really, really hard.
Well, I think about taking it away, though. Not necessarily taking it away, but just reducing it, the need, right? Reducing it. But I think you're right. I think it is cultural, right? But and we got away from, I know when I first started the industry back in 1998 or sometime back then, there were a lot of people that still printed out their emails to read, or the executives would have their emails printed by their admins and they would read them manually. Now, we're a long way away from that, but I think that's still that same kind of cultural change that needs to be required to reduce the need to print.
So do you think we might see Power Apps and so on having some of the similar features to that of DocuSign?
It'd be nice.
I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I think we should. I'm not sure about what's currently available, but you know, there are connectors for things like that. There are easy ways to kind of connect the two things. I'm not sure if anything like that where you could just, you know, plunk it in there into the middle of the form yet, but I could see those things coming for sure. Mm-hmm. And truly, if it's going to be a power user tool, then you'd almost have to go that route at some point.
I think we can all agree that it's still better than what happened to Amazon on Prime Day.
Awkward.
Sorry.
I mean, if only they had auto scaling servers or something, but they do.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go there. I just popped in my head.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's a real. I feel sorry for whoever is the lead architect over that, because I'll bet they are
looking for a job.
Not in it. They're probably not looking for a job, but they are probably not going to be moving up anytime soon. I mean, you know, I've been there. I've made mistakes like that before. I think we all have, but that's pretty public.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I feel for the guys, but yeah, that was you could not have a more public failure than Amazon Prime Day this year. Yeah.
They probably don't want us to drone on about it.
It was so bad, people stopped talking about Trump for like 20 seconds.
What's going on with Trump anyway? Is he doing any jobs? No, never mind. We're not talking about that. It's not a political podcast.
So tell us about your foot, Rob.
Yeah, my foot. I'll tell you what, I'm eating a lot of vegetables, so that's good.
Yeah.
Is that good for Lee?
No, well, actually, so we had bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches, BLTs, and I'm working with one of my run friends. Is her name's Kelly, and she's a big vegetarian, and she was telling me, and I was like, man, this is going to be so hard to not eat bacon, lettuce, and tomato, not eat bacon on this. She was like, oh no, just take instead of doing bacon, just put a couple extra slices of tomatoes on there, and you won't even think about the bacon. You know what, guys? I thought about the bacon. So but much.
You're from the South. Tomato sandwiches are a thing in the South. Fresh they tomatoes, are. Mayonnaise, and bread. I mean,
and these came from my garden, so they were tomatoes that me and my youngest grew. And like you said, Mark, yours were bigger. Yeah, grown bigger. But it was really good. I did want the bacon, but you know what is kind of interesting is that with the veggie thing, I'm not really as hungry as I thought I would be. You know. I'm staying
you're vegetarian
really
now.
No. I'm just so the reason why I started going down this path was, you know, you got to do your weekly check or yearly checkup with your doctor when you get our age, and he looked at my blood work and he kind of pulls it up and he looks at it and he looks at me and he looks at it and he goes, you eat a lot of fatty meats, don't you? And I was like, well, do you follow me on Instagram? Because you would know that. He said, nope, these numbers are high. You need to do something about that.
Did you say people talk about your butts all the time?
No, no, I did not. I did not. But I'm good at cooking meat. You know, I can cook meat and I'm really good at it. But it sounds like I need to start cooking veggies more.
All our listeners should go get their yearly checkup and see what the doctor says is what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm not at the prostate exam age yet, but I'm getting there.
I may be there, so I'm avoiding that next checkup.
Your prostate's fine, right?
It is. It's fine.
Sorry, Stephanie. We apologize. This is bullshit.
I only got to pee twice.
La, 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 la.
Yeah. So, you know what? This is kind of a good time to talk about this. I just, before the show started, I pulled up Instagram and I saw your picture, Mark, of you got a new puck. And I checked outside today and my puck came in. And Stephanie, I'm sure yours is in the mail or at your doorstep. But we all three got renewed as MVPs this year.
Woo!
Yay!
Mm-hmm. Pull them again.
Yeah, we get to rejoin Brett as a new MVP. And
yay!
Yeah, so that's good. I mean, I don't get out as much as you guys do, and the podcast has really helped me. But one of the as far as come up with contributions and things like that to actually get considered for renewal. But one thing I noticed was there was a fairly massive cut in the numbers this year. What do you think about that, Mark?
Yeah, so from my understand, they are making quite a few changes to the MVP program. And so they kind of went through and did a culling of people that had been, you know, I guess maybe the way the program used to work, and hopefully this doesn't sound controversial at all, but you know, once you made it to the MVP program, it was possible to coast and not have to contribute as much as you did to get it to stay in. And I think they were doing a correction this year to try to find people who were staying active and make sure that those are the people that were part of the program. So the goal was to get rid of people who weren't as active as they should have been. And also maybe focus on the technologies that were more relevant. I know there were some people that were not happy with the way things went. But I can't say they made the wrong decisions for what they were doing. I mean, they know what they're doing, and they have a design for what they're doing. So, I'm glad I made it. I'm glad that my contributions were enough. And I do think that the MVP program adds a lot of value for our customers, for my career. And, you know, it helps me stay more plugged in with Microsoft and you know, my friends that work at Microsoft, because they, as an MVP, we have to sign NDAs about what we know and not repeat things. And so the four of us have so many friends on the product team in Microsoft. And those people can feel free to talk to us about what they're doing from day to day and what's coming, because they know we're under an NDA and they don't have to worry about us telling things. So I think that just puts us in a great position to be able to listen to those guys, give them our feedback, and also direct our clients where they should be going without necessarily telling them what's coming. Mm-hmm. I do very much appreciate what the MVP program allows me to do in all those scenarios. Is there any brown on my nose, or was that pretty good?
No, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think we have, there's some definite calls and things that we have sometimes on a weekly basis with the product teams, and just being able to see what's coming and provide that feedback, because, you know, there for a while, I've been, this is my 12th year at MVP. So I'm clearly the old guy here on the show. And you know, there was a while my first year was 2007, and, I got in right before SharePoint 2007 went RTM, and so went through all of that, and it was amazing back then. The MVP program was really tight. The SharePoint team, I think I was like number, you know, 31 or something. So there was really small. It was a really small group. Since then, it's grown to be a fairly large group. And through that growth, we've seen a lot of changes in that. You know, it was awesome back then, and then it got to where they didn't really tell us as much. And some MVP Summit was kind of it was more just you went to hang out with your friends, you know, rather than to learn things. And they've really, over the past probably 3 or 4 years, they've really brought it back to where things like MVP Summit are valuable, right? There's like no reason that you should even consider missing it, or being on the calls with the product team. There's no reason you should consider missing it, because they're giving you the opportunity to give real feedback that they apply directly to the product, as well as tell you things that you can either take to your customers directly or steer them in a way that will set them up for success. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things that I've been able to use, leverage the MVP program for, is with my personal roadmaps at work, just being able to steer us that way as well.
On that note, Rob, you did not make the last MVP Summit.
I did not.
For our listeners, Rob was greatly missed at the last MVP Summit. He may or may not be known to stand up and give the presenters a hard time and hold their feet to the fire about what's going on. And it's much appreciated, but also entirely entertaining. So you were absolutely missed at the last MVP Summit. Several people mentioned it.
I have high opinions and I have a loud voice, and I'm not afraid to stand up and say if I see something that's bull crap, I'm not afraid to stand up and go, this is not going to work, guys, you know, so, and call them out, you know. But I think they appreciate that feedback because I'm coming from a different perspective than a lot of people in the room and bringing.
Yeah, by the looks you got, they didn't all appreciate it.
But. Well, yeah, well the Yammer team does not really appreciate my feedback because about 30 seconds in, I'm raising my hand, going, "The search work yet? The search work yet?" And I've done that for probably 7 years now. So, but yeah.
Hopefully you'll be there next year. You were missed.
I'm going to. If at all possible, I'm definitely going to be there. And this will be the first summit that we've all four been there. I've been to Seattle with Brett, which was crazy. And but I think all four of us going will be awesome.
Well, that was back in the days of the SharePoint pod show. And yeah, I do recall that we had to stay up for Nick Swan, who's the other co-host, also a SharePoint MVP at the time, because he was in England and we were in Seattle and we had to stay up until midnight, which didn't go down well. And we had just saying welcome to the SharePoint pod show took 19 attempts without laughing.
In all fairness, we probably had about 15 beers each before we started hitting record. So that was there was that. And it's 8 a.m. Nick's time and he's completely sober. And
yeah, he didn't find it funny.
He was not laughing.
So speaking of Summit and next year, I hope that my conference in Branson will line up to the MVP Summit dates again. Mm. So my conference, the North American Collaboration Summit, is going to be next March 18th, 19th, and 20th for our listeners if they want to go ahead and reserve their hotels and get ready for registration. And I thought that was a good segue from the MVP Summit to my conference. And so that's definitely. I'm going to take that opportunity. And so I officially want to announce it as next March 18th, 19th, and 20th in Branson, Missouri again. You can book your hotels today. Registration will open soon. And one of the things that I think is pretty cool is that next year, it actually takes place on the same week as my kids' spring break. So I'm totally going to take advantage of that. And I'm creating a track I'm calling the STEM track. And it is just for kids, college or younger, to come in and present a 30-minute session on whatever topic they want to do. And I'm really hoping to push that to get kids involved with speaking about technology, finding things they're passionate about, and get out there. And my son's going to be doing a session. He's going to be doing an intro to Blender session. So it doesn't have to be a SharePoint or collaboration. It just needs to be a STEM topic that the kids care about. So I'm very excited about that and look forward to see where that's going. Speaking of sessions and conferences. So there's another conference coming up here in September. People may have heard about it, called Ignite. And actually one of our people on the podcast team here got selected to speak.
Well, I'm not the only one participating, guys. Hello, Techsplaining's going to be there. We're on the map. We are being listed as an official podcast for Ignite. I think that's pretty exciting.
Well, we're just riding your coattails to get there. But yes, as a podcast, we will be at Ignite. So you guys can come and heckle us there in person. But Stephanie, why don't you talk about more about what you're going to be doing there at Ignite?
Yeah, so something that Microsoft has really started to put a big emphasis on here lately is the idea of diversity and inclusion. And that's something that's very important at Microsoft and something they're starting to bring into their conferences. So what we did at SharePoint Conference, we kind of tried it out, I think. I don't know if they've done this at previous or other conferences, but at SharePoint Conference, we had a diversity inclusion track, and I was lucky enough to get to speak there on my personal experience as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as a female in tech. It was a great experience. I got to meet a lot of really cool people. And now I have the same opportunity to go give that session here at Ignite this fall. And there's a whole track around this. There's a diversity and inclusion pre-day as well that happens before Microsoft Ignite. So really good opportunity for people to kind of get in and see what it's all about, right? I mean, diversity and inclusion is just, you know, all about kind of embracing all of the different things that make us who we are. And it's, you know, regardless of your background, you know, race, gender, you know, anything, religious preference, political preference, whatever it is that makes you, and just embracing that and bringing it to work, right? I think it's Sheryl Sandberg, who says, bring your whole self to work. And I love that philosophy and being able to be who you are. And it's very important to kind of making the workplace better, making the products better, making services better. So really excited to be part of all of this with Microsoft.
I can't wait. And I can't, I think this is such an incredible track that they're offering, because I've always believed this. I've worked jobs in the past where I was a consultant, or I was, you know, working at a, you know, another company or whatever. And they, you know, had a way that you had to act. You had to act. They expected you to act a certain way and live within kind of this box of parameters, right? And always being interactive and me, I often didn't fit into this box, you know? And I felt held back by it, you know, and I can't imagine if I was, you know, had other factors playing in, you know, if I was gay, if I was whatever, you know, because that kind of holding people back to where they can't be themselves really puts a burden on what they can actually do and the potential they can reach. And yeah. I think this is so important, and I'm really happy to see this as a track coming up. I want to attend it. I mean, I want to see it and understand it more. We put a lot of emphasis on this at work. We even go to the point of taking personality tests so that we can understand not only that you can be yourself, but who you are and who the other people you're working with are, so that, you know, a lot of times you just don't get along with a personality, and it's nothing against you or them. It's really just understanding, oh, you know, I'm an ENTP is my personality type. If you look at Myers-Briggs, somebody else might be an INFJ, and when we try to communicate, it's like oil and water. It sometimes just doesn't work. And if you understand that, you can communicate better. But also, if you can be yourself, you can have a better time of communicating. I think so. It's really fascinating to me, and I think it's more interesting, honestly, than the tech stuff to me, anyway.
So, Rob, I'm curious. You know, being that you work for a really large company, is there an initiative at work for you guys, something that you're aware of, or things that they do to kind of help promote that? You know, it's a little different. We're small. We kind of, you know, we do what we do, but companies your size often have programs, initiative, things that they really try to promote and things that stick out. I mean, is anything?
It's so important. It's one of our corporate core strategic goals. Right. So diversity inclusion is as important as work-life balance, as important as delivering for world-class solutions for our customers. You know, so we're really putting it at that type of level to where we believe in it. We're betting the farm on it. And we're really putting a lot into it to really make sure that we hire a diverse group of people. You're able to work with these group of people and not hire them because they fit in a bucket of minority or whatever, right? But hiring them because they deserve the job and they just happen to be, you know, a minority or whatever. And I think that's when you put it on that type of level, and it's as important as delivering real solutions and world-class solutions for your customers, that's a game changer, right? Because then you can actually focus on it. You can actually get it done and make it happen.
I think that this is what excites me most about this push for diversity, is because I think for the first time we're really pushing for, no matter what, hire the right person for the job. Don't let anything stop you from hiring the right person for that job. I've got a daughter who's 16 years old this month. Happy birthday, Emerson. Actually, in 2 days. So I guess I better get her something for her birthday.
Oh, she needs a car.
Oh, she's already got the car.
All right.
Yeah. But I really want there to be a world where she can be whatever she wants to be and not have to worry about being shut down because of her gender or because of anything else, that she can just be whatever she wants to be. And I really like that world where we hire the right person for the job regardless of anything else. And that's what I really like about where things are going.
I think for me, I mean, that's that comes as natural anyway. And I don't know if it's if I'm speaking for the generation or whether it's just me, but I know you know, the our parents' generation, things weren't that way for sure. But now, I mean, I wouldn't consider otherwise. And it's shocking to me that that still goes on. It's
And I feel like sometimes that's not intentional, though, right? I think it's very easy to fall into that pattern where you hire a friend and then you hire a friend's friend. And then, you know, you've kind of working from the circle of, well, you know, 5 of the 10 people in our group knew somebody to get here. And that's okay to a point, but the challenge you'll run into is that because you're all connected somehow or directly connected, then you all are somewhat alike. And that brings bias into the company. It brings bias into the projects because you're not necessarily looking at it from all perspectives, right? And so if you actively pursue people outside of your circle to be part of your team, then you get that different background, you get that different opinion, you get that, you know, that outside look at something that you've been doing for a while. And that's so important in what you're doing every day, because generally your products, your services, anything you're doing, you know, you're hitting a lot of different types of people, not just the people like you. So it really makes a difference on your team. So it is about hiring the best person for the job, but it's also about actively pursuing someone who brings value because specifically they have a different background.
Well, and one of the, and so sorry to take this back to Pate Group, but one of the things that has worked really well for Stephanie and I working together is we are different. I mean, we bring a lot of different things to the table. We're very diverse just between the two of us. And when we go to a client and we're meeting with a group of CEOs and executives and business decision makers,
she hides you.
I'm embarrassing. But no, but they're going to connect with one of us because of our diversity. Someone's going to be able to connect to somebody in our group. So diversity is huge for just being able to connect with people as well. So I can't get behind this enough.
Oh, it is absolutely. I mean, and it's key to running a successful business in today's world, right? I mean, I don't think you can be successful. You definitely can't be as successful if you have a bunch of people with those common bias. You have to have people need to be able to bring their opinions to work, and they are, you know, their perspectives, not their opinions necessarily, but their perspectives, and be able to feel free enough to say, you know what, this is who I am, and this is my perspective on whatever you're talking about. And I think that's that opens the door to infinite possibilities.
Absolutely. And if you do not provide an environment for your employees to be able to be themselves, they're going somewhere else, and you're going to lose that talent because you're a dinosaur at that point. I mean, it's critical.
I would never. I'll go out on the limb and say if I would never work for a company that doesn't support this ever, because it's there's just the options are out there, and you can work for companies that this is a strategic initiative, and I think that's it's that important to me. I mean, it really is. Mic drop.
Well, and if maybe your company doesn't have that, right? Then maybe be the leader, start the initiative, it only takes one to get something moving and get something moving forward. And I think that if you are reaching out to your leadership and maybe your HR department and they're not listening, maybe it is time to go somewhere. But maybe also they could give you a platform to help push that forward internally as well.
Well, so the one of the companies that I used to work for was a manufacturing company, and I'm not going to talk about the industry, but culturally it was a very, old world boys club kind of company. And, if you were in a certain position, you did this, and it was largely white men and everything. So, I mean, it may be the fact that you can't change your company's culture, and that's okay too, but because just know that there are a lot, there's a lot more fish in the sea, right? And you might not want to leave, but to get this, you might actually have to leave. What's our next topic?
Something,
ringtones.
Oh, that was my, I have a Ring doorbell, and that was the motion detector going off. So there's a good chance that like the UPS or FedEx was driving by my driveway, and then the Ring doorbell picked it up, and that was the noise you just heard. So are you guys using any type of devices like the Ring doorbell or anything? Or are you finding any use for it? I actually, living in the middle of nowhere in Arkansas, I did get a Ring doorbell And it has really helped for when I'm traveling and someone rings the doorbell and I can answer the door when I'm traveling.
Yep.
Or when I'm down here in my office in the basement and, you know, a driver needs a signature, I don't hear the doorbell, but I do get the notification on Ring that there was motion at the door when they ring the bell. So I actually, I like it a lot.
So I have a Nest camera, and it's I've got it kind of set in my window looking out my front door. And when somebody walks up to my front door, they don't have to ring the doorbell. They can just walk up. I'll get a notification saying there's a person at your door. And it will also record, right? So I can look at, you know, I think it's 30 days of history. And if I see something suspicious, I can actually create a clip. I've really dove into this home automation stuff, and I love it. I think it's great. Like, I've got a smart things hub, and I've got a bunch of Philips Hue lights, and I had to buy a new oven recently. My oven connects up to Alexa through smart things, and I can preheat my oven by talking to Alexa and I set timers, and you know, my lights in my house, they turn on and off based on things. It could be a time of day, like at 8:30, they all dim. And
then, so your lights come on when the vegetables are roasted, right?
They do, yeah. So, but no, I mean, it's really, I think it's awesome. I mean, I like it. And for things like waking up, right? I haven't used an alarm clock in many, many, many months since I started doing this. Like, my lights in my bedroom will start to slowly come up. So it's like a sunrise. And then when they get to about 80%, you know, something clicks on in my brain and I'm like, boom, I'm awake. So it actually wakes me up in a very natural state. So it's really cool.
So my son named all of our lights upstairs garbage mashers. So whenever he wants to turn on the lights upstairs, he says, Alexa, turn on all the garbage mashers. I'm like Star Wars. So yeah, so you can name things differently. But yeah, we have lights connected to Alexa. We've got some outlets connected to Alexa. The basement lights down here. So it's convenient. It helps. I walk downstairs to my pitch black basement and I walking towards my office, I say, Alexa, turn on the office lights. My office lights come on and I can get situated.
So speaking of, I got an email from, well, everybody in my firm in the U.S. got an email from our CEO saying, hey, thanks for your hard work. We had a great year. Click here to select your whatever gift. And you could choose between an Amazon Echo, like not the Dot, the full-size Echo, or a Google Home device. And they gave that to basically all 55,000 people in the U.S. We all got to choose from those. Yeah. It's got the company logo. I got the Alexa. I got the Echo, of course.
Okay. So it's you who crashed the Amazon, right?
Yeah, it was actually that day. Yeah, so I'm excited about it. It's got my company logo on it and everything. So I thought that was a nice little gift, and they seem to be preaching home automation as well from work.
Yeah. My wife, I still have a doorbell. It's like a chain with a bell on the end.
Do you really?
Yeah. I have to up my game.
Yeah, man. Well,
but my wife, she hates the whole thing. She hates the fact that she feels like every time she says something in any room of the house, somebody is listening to her. She hates it.
And I
think a lot of people feel that way.
They are. I mean, you ever just talked about something privately with somebody and then got an ad on Facebook for that product?
Yep.
They're listening.
All the time.
I'm sure it reads my mind. I swear I've not even spoken the words and it's popping things up that I'm thinking about. It's crazy.
The creepiest one that happened to me, we were traveling for my oldest son. He has travel lacrosse in the summer. And so we're at a hotel, right? And so we had to you stay there two nights. We didn't have a washing machine, so we kind of rinsed his jersey in the sink. And my husband's using the blow dryer to dry his jersey. And I'm on Facebook while he's doing this. And I get this reasons you shouldn't use hotel blow dryers. And I'm whoa, that's not okay. It knows my location. It knows I'm not home, right? But the fact that it was the blow dryer, I'm like,
here's the blow dryer.
the hair dryer, I just oh, that creeped me out a little bit. Like, surely it can't, right?
No, it can. I'm pretty sure they're listening.
Alexa, I don't do automation.
No, we're so traditional at my house. Like, you know what I do? I walk in a room and I flip the light switch.
Wow, I haven't done that in years. That's crazy. What's that like?
It's pretty pretty standard. You know, our lights still come on.
Do they now?
We're still able to use them. It's crazy. Yeah.
That analog, man. Y'all are totally right? Analog. That's so hipster.
I know. I have a garage door opener with a button on it. Yeah.
Do you have an actual,
I have to twist the handle on our garage door and like lift it up.
Yeah. Do you have a house phone?
No, we did get rid of that.
Yeah.
Mark does though.
I technically have a house phone, but it's not plugged up.
Do you have to walk outside to use the bathroom?
Well, I do that by choice.
Yeah. Well, Arkansas.
Exactly, Arkansas. Which brings us back to the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah. The chime rings when you're outside. Wow.
Yeah, those Ring doorbell people are going to get an eyeful, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely not FedEx. It is. Oops.
Yeah. Wow. And then we, the show just goes downhill from here.
Yeah.
Whew.
So I believe we're going to be talking more about diversity in an upcoming show as well.
We are. So Stephanie, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So I had pinged Heather Newman because she had asked me to be on a webinar with her and talking about diversity and inclusion. And I said, hey, you know, we think we want to talk about this on Techsplaining as well. Why don't you come over and talk to us? Heather is... She's been involved a lot with Microsoft in planning a lot of the events going on with SharePoint Conference and now engaged with Inspire and now getting a webinar going around diversity and inclusion as well. So I thought it would be great to have her on the show and maybe talk through some of the things that Microsoft's doing, some of the new things that if you want to get involved in this space, what you can do to kind of get connected and get to know people. So it will be a fun show with her.
We love Heather. I sat beside her at dinner at Steve Smith's birthday party with Brett as well, Brett and Sarah. And she's amazing. See, I can't wait to get her on the show. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, she's definitely good fun.
She's in the market for a Jeep, so I'm really happy to talk to her about that. Well, I guess that's the wrap of our show. So hope this was a fun show for you. It sure enough was for us. But
a little random today.
hopefully people can get to know us a little better now. So thanks for listening. And if you have any questions or comments, please shoot us an email at info@techsplaining.net. And otherwise, we will talk to you again real soon with another show.